democracyisforpeople.org.
Welcome to our show, Examine Life, on KKRN at 88.5 FM in Bella Vista, Round Mountain.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Pat.
Tonight we're going to examine California's latest effort at what it thinks will implement gun control.
And let me read, viewers and opinions expressed on this program are those of the program host, guests, and participants, and not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio and Acorn Community Enterprises, nor the underwriters of the station.
Not even.
No. What we're going to discuss, as Steve said, is Proposition 63, which was written by Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, who's going to be running for governor in 2018. Some of the features, this is a 36-page long proposition, and I can guarantee you, I read that voter's pamphlet that was sent to me, and not everything is covered in that pamphlet of those 36 pages.
Well, that just flabbergasts me.
I know, to imagine they wouldn't put it all in there.
They're never disingenuous.
They couldn't fit in all the marijuana pages either. Anyway, it allows authorities to seize weapons, and it says to be determined in the full text of the proposed law. However, it does state, if you are arrested, weapons can be seized from your home.
I think that's because California enjoys the fact that the ATF can do that now.
But think about it. That's arrested. That's not convicted.
Right. The ATF raids your house, kills your dog, and takes your car. And then a couple days later, they realize they made a mistake. Well, we're sorry. We already sold your car. And there is nothing you can do.
Well, this is another one of those. And think about it. The way we have this catch-all phrase of national security, that anything that they want, they can stick under that title, you can get arrested for something that they might classify as national security, then your weapons are all seized and you've not been convicted of anything.
Right. Someday, you folks that believe these laws are a good thing, someone maybe on the opposite political side of you is going to want to take something away that you treasure. And then you might think about it a little differently, but it'll take that for you to do that, I believe.
It also makes it illegal not to report a stolen gun within 5 days of you finding out that it was stolen. And if you recover it, you must report it found within 5 days or it's illegal. Meaning this is kind of one of those laws that's pretty broad. As to how they want to classify it, it could be a misdemeanor, it could be a felony, but it's right now the way the law's proposed, and some of these are even already incorporated in the law they passed last summer, and yeah. We'll get to that too.
They like them being vague because it allows them, I mean, you try to define finding out. Is that when you actually found out or when they believe you should have found out, or what do they mean by that?
Yeah, it has kind of a gray area. There's new procedures to be drawn for the enforcing of laws prohibiting the process of specific persons. This is a list. And you notice that California Democrats support this and Republicans are not against it. So it sounds like there's a lot of people behind it. But again, this is procedures to be drawn, which means this law opens the door for the legislator or some agency to draw these things without having us vote on them again.
Gosh, it's hard to imagine that politicians would do that.
I know. And this, like I say, it's 37 pages. The ballot summary requires individuals to pass a background check and obtain a Department of Justice authorization to purchase ammunition. And to pay a fee for that, fee is estimated at $50, effective next July 2017. That is just to buy the ammunition. We're not talking about the existing background checks they do for you to buy a gun or to bring one in from another state or to inherit it or any of that. This is just to buy ammunition for a gun.
I wonder if all those people in the inner cities of Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, if they'll have to do all these things to buy the guns that they're buying illegally now.
Well, think about it. This is not even buying a gun. That's already covered by the law. This
right.
is buying ammunition.
There'll be a whole new black market now for ammunition.
And there'll be another list.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to own a gun to buy the ammunition, but they have to run a background check on you to buy ammunition.
Right.
So,
and those people aren't going to pass a background check, so they're going to have to get their ammunition for their illegal guns, and they're going to get it illegally, and it's going to be a new, you know, the ATF and the certain policing organizations like this because it promotes them having more people and a bigger budget, and it's like the drug war. It's not meant to really serve any purpose. The useful idiots that believe in it, you know, they like this wonderful thought that they can make the world a wonderful place, but the police cannot show up at your house in time to protect you from a person who wants to hurt you.
This war idea of war on drugs and war on poverty that has been going on for 40 years, we are worse off in poverty and worse off in drugs than we've ever been in history, and we've been having this war on them for 40 years. Goes
yeah.
to show how well our government executes that. The law would also prohibit the possession of a large capacity magazine, which is holds.
Well, I think it you're not allowed now to hold above 10 rounds. What this is different about is that you could have a magazine before if you had already bought it. If you already owned a magazine that was more than 10 rounds, you could keep it. Now they want to take that away from you. They want to make it illegal to have something that you bought legally before.
Right. And does it not have a specific thing about it cannot be a detachable magazine?
Well, how it's complicated, but how they detach, you know, what they're trying to do is make it where it takes you longer to detach and reattach a magazine so that you can't, you know, they use people's emotional reaction to the school killings and things like that and say, you know, if you can rapidly kick a magazine out and put another magazine in, you can kill more people. And so it's this idea, they play on people's emotions. And that's what this whole magazine thing is about. It's the size of the magazine and the way it's constructed so that it's more difficult for you to kick the magazine out and reload another one quickly. And the point is, if you're in a school, whether it takes you 3 seconds or 10 seconds, shouldn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. It requires most all ammunition sales to be made through a licensed ammunition vendor, and that's reported to the Department of Justice. That's the list, and that'll be an additional fee of $50. You wonder, this guy, this dealer that you're going to be doing through, he's going to have to pass that cost on to somebody. He's not going to absorb that.
Right.
Because if you don't pass, he's not going to be able to sell you the ammunition or the gun, so he's going to want you to pay that fee.
Well, that's part of their motivation. They want to make it so that people just don't buy guns. They just, you know, people just want to see us disarmed. That's where these folks are all heading. They can't do it all at once because they realize that the people are against it. So they do these types of regulations to trick those people into thinking it's a good thing. We're just trying to make firearms a little more safe. And to make us not want to bother anymore.
I'm not a gun owner, but if ever I was in a place where somebody was trying to shoot others, I would hope that there was somebody else there that was a gun owner
yeah.
that knew how to use it.
When there has been, it saved lives.
The new regulation prohibits persons convicted of stealing a firearm from possessing firearms. This is already a federal crime. And the guns would be taken as evidence. Again, this is even if you're not convicted. If you have been convicted of something that involved stealing a firearm, then they would take the firearm from you, obviously, because you were a convicted felon.
Right. Which, you know, convicted felons are not supposed to have them in the first place.
But that's right.
Guess who all the people down in the inner city Los Angeles where I grew up, I believe most of those guns are probably not legal now. How does this bill address that?
Right. If caught for theft or possession of a stolen gun, you're thereafter prevented from possessing a firearm. And again, this goes back to the same one we just said. This is a federal crime already, so it's not like you're adding a new law. It's just California has the strictest gun laws in the nation now. and they're just strengthening those laws.
And, well, I think they're trying to make them more complicated again. I think part of the hidden agenda is to just make it so difficult to get the guns that they just wear it down. And it's kind of sad that they're not open about what they're trying to do.
And the Department of Justice is required to provide a list to the Federal National Instant Criminal Background Check System, that new list, of anyone who is prohibited from, is classified as a prohibited person.
And, of course, that list with its data point size right now is obviously very effective. It's catching all the bad people, right? They're not ending up with guns and shooting other people.
Well, they say last month they ran something like 2 million people behind that background check list.
We all know government databases are very, very efficient and
accurate.
Full of the correct knowledge. Yeah.
The new legislation covers 8 categories of weapons, including small arms and light weapons and their ammunition, any part or component of a gun of any kind, not just the weapons.
Right, right. Yeah, they're meticulously trying to control components. You know, they have this new structural description of what you can and can't do with a magazine. But, you know, bureaucrats like to do things in a detailed way because it you know, makes their job look important. So they're so specific on what you can do with magazines that people are going to find a way around those specific things, and they'll be able to legally do exactly what these are supposedly trying to prevent.
That national control list will also be asking how many and what kind of guns you own. It will prevent no CCW, which is a concealed weapons permit, or weapons owned for self-defense in the future. So the new law would affect everybody going forward on those things. It also states that we must comply with international laws. This goes to the globalist concept. And what we don't, I was surprised to learn because it wasn't in the press, but the Obama administration on 12/24 of 14, that was on Christmas Eve, signed the UN Small Arms Treaty. And right now it is going to Congress for approval. It's been sitting there for 2 years. This is way past our Second Amendment, our constitutional right to bear arms. By passing this law, we're stating that we will comply with that international treaty, even if it's not passed by our Congress. This is way out of bounds as far as I'm concerned. This would be the one reason for me not to vote for this proposition. This is way overstepping, the government's overstepping. The state of California is overstepping their reach and stepping on my rights because I didn't even know this international treaty existed until I searched for it.
Well, I think you have to understand that people that vote for these kind of things don't believe in their own ability to conduct a life. They believe that we should have some international organization or some big group of intelligent people that tell us how we should live and what's safe and what isn't.
Well, it goes back to the globalization theory, and
right. It
might be fine for some things, but for me, it's not right for me.
Well, they believe that somehow if the world is all one big country with no borders, that all those bad people will kind of just disappear or stop being bad.
Under the new laws, medical marijuana users are already prohibited from owning a gun. So all of you people out there, make sure you read the fine print when you get those medical permits to get medical marijuana. Define firearms. It's far more complicated than what I thought. I'm not a gun owner, so I'm not all that, you know,
well,
educated.
Well, the written definition here is handguns, rifles, shotguns, which can be either single shot or semi-automatic and automatic. Semi-automatic rifles is, you know, one shot for one trigger pull, automatically reloads a chamber. Automatic weapons are multiple shots with one trigger pull. It just continues to fire. It's not always, it says, you know, in the definition that it's until the magazine is emptied, but you can set automatic weapons for like a 3-shot burst and things like that where they don't just run continuously.
And semi-automatic means...
Semi is you pull the trigger once, you get one shot.
Okay.
But you don't, you know, a single shot is where you pull the trigger and you have to do a bolt or do something to pull it again.
I get it.
A semi-automatic is you just pull the trigger.
I have to keep pulling your finger back every time.
Yeah, and you can do that pretty quickly. An automatic is you pull the trigger once and the machine just keeps firing. But again, you can limit those where you pull it once and it fires three shots or six shots. You can make those settings on certain automatic weapons.
And for those of you that are novices, a bullet is the same as a round.
Right.
A magazine is the same as what they call a chamber.
Right.
And shells are the same as bullets.
Yeah.
After shooting.
A magazine, some people call them clips, but they hold multiple rounds. You know, a revolver, it's a cylinder that holds the multiple rounds.
Automatic weapons are not allowed to be owned by ordinary citizens now.
No, there's only certain classifications and licenses you have to be able to own an automatic weapon. And semi-automatic weapons, again, this idea of the clips being able to quickly or not so quickly load the clips, I personally don't think that it makes that much difference. But, again, they just want to nitpick this thing to death. Because the more complicated to make the laws, they will even accidentally create new ways to be able to bust somebody that they just want to bust for whatever reason. They like their vagueness in the laws and their particular little specifics so that they can get people they want to get.
Well, most laws federally already cover firearms or at least semi-automatic weapons. Assault weapons are classified as any semi-automatic or automatic weapon. They're not allowed to be owned by citizens, ordinary people. These are strictly military or police
weapons.
Well,
semi-automatics you can own.
But it's just the assault weapons that are classified as
semi-automatic. Certain types of semi-automatics, actually, the way that they're built on the outside, like even the way that you hold them, they don't allow some of those just because, I don't know, I guess if you can hold it easier, maybe you feel meaner. I don't know why they do that kind of thing. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I know that California, to buy a gun, you can only buy guns off of a roster. Each manufacturer pays a fee to get their gun on that roster and to give the specifics about the gun and all the ramifications of it. And then the California decides whether or not it will be allowed to be sold. And I hear, and this is hearsay, but from a woman who wanted to buy a gun, and it was in another state, and she could buy it there with a pink handle, but in California, the pink handled ones were illegal.
Oh, that I don't know about.
It was like, you're kidding me. But that's, I guess, how specific the California law is.
That could have been the case, or it could be that the pink-handled gun she wanted to buy had some other characteristic
some other feature
illegal in California.
That it was not allowed on that roster of guns that you could buy.
I don't know. Proponents of these things, don't you start to feel a little ridiculous just hearing about how these laws are written and what they're doing? I mean, doesn't this sound kind of silly? I mean, it's not silly. It's dangerous to our freedom, but come on.
We're going to talk a little bit about how all of this evolves, the gun control in itself. The top six cities in the United States account for 70% of all murders, and many of them have existing stiff handgun law controls already. Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., Baltimore. These are places that most of the murders occur, and as we all know, Chicago has some of the toughest laws for handguns.
You know, and what the proponents will say is, well, yeah, but if we didn't have any guns elsewhere in the country, they wouldn't be able to get them. Yeah, like drugs. I mean, obviously, if drugs are illegal, so we can't get any drugs, so that's working.
Well, Chicago's confiscated over 6,000 illegal guns this year in a gun-controlled city. I mean, this is almost absurd. It's almost funny. Like, you're kidding me, really?
Well, that's the thing. It does. But, you know, these people don't feel silly voting for this kind of thing. Somehow, they think it makes sense.
And I don't believe any of these cities have stop and frisk deterrent.
Not anymore, no. Because they turned it into a whole racist thing. And
But, I mean, they've confiscated these guns, obviously, at crime scenes. Yeah. How else would they get them?
Well, they've probably done drug raids, and there's probably all kinds of ways that they get these guns. Yeah, they are at crime scenes, but...
They say 2 homicides a day happen in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't I'm not good at remembering statistics, but I know that it's just really high. I mean, you hear things like it's more dangerous to be in Chicago than it is to be in Mosul.
Wow.
You know, think about just the fact that auto accidents outshine gun murders by a great amount. And even if you factor in all the suicides, and the only reason guns are more likely to be a suicide thing is because they're easy to, you know, you pull a trigger.
Well, it's a choice and the weapon of choice for most men to commit suicide.
And for people who want to hurt themselves, you know, that's a way they'll think. But, you know, automobile accidents, and some of them aren't accidents. But why do we pick on guns?
Yeah, death by cars is 300% more lethal than death by guns.
Than murder by guns.
Yes.
When you factor in suicides, car accidents are still higher than all of the deaths by guns, but yes, murders are like 300%, one-third of what automobile deaths are. And even poisons outstrip gun deaths.
And 50% of those gun deaths are suicides.
Right.
Not all. And the problem with statistics is how they get them. Is it by a year? Is it by a certain population, like cities over 100,000 or 250,000? Who did it? Was it Forbes magazine? Was it the FBI? Was it the CDC? And is it crimes committed with a gun, or is it homicides committed with a gun? All these fine lines. And this is where the statistics become overwhelming when you get them poured on you.
Right.
So this is where we have to really either pay total attention to what the statistics say or ignore them.
It's like what someone said once, 99.9% of all statistics are bogus.
Yeah. Well, surprisingly, Wyoming has no homicides, but they have suicides by gun, but no homicides. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I guess I don't want to move to Wyoming.
Wyoming's a safe
place. I don't know how safe it is. It sounds like it's depressing to be there.
It's not that far from Illinois either.
Well, again, think about those statistics. I didn't look at those in detail, but think about what that might say. That in Wyoming, I think the population is a fair amount lower.
Yes.
So you don't have the inner city crime. Inner cities is where we have our problems. What we need is smaller towns.
Yeah,
not inner
only,
cities.
If only.
But think about the fact that if you have a normal amount of people percentage committing suicide in a place like Wyoming, but you just don't have the situation that causes all the crime and so on, then yes, your murder rates with guns will be lower, but your suicide, because normal people, I mean, quote unquote normal, still commit suicide, you just don't have the big crime areas.
Well,
so people will take those statistics and not tell you the background behind them.
Well, gangs, poverty, and unemployment contribute tremendously to crimes with or without a gun.
Right.
So young men and women need to work. They need to have a purpose in life. They have lots of energy. Many of them have a lot of anger issues. So resources should be spent on helping them through their lives, not just, you know, take away guns.
Well, see,
think
America,
about it. If we took away cars because it kills 300 times more people, how ridiculous that would be.
And America wants to put people in jail for using drugs, not just for selling them, for using them. But if you commit a crime with a gun, why are you not getting like 20 years automatically just because you committed a crime with a gun? That would solve a problem, but they don't want to solve it. They want to use it politically.
Maybe so.
Are we ready for a break?
Okay, and then we'll come back and talk about existing.
You want to cover a little bit more? It's about 24 after the hour.
Okay, let's talk about California has the toughest gun laws in the United States. We have to pass a written test to get a firearm safety certificate before we buy that gun. We have to have the background check.
I forgot to do it. I wanted to print up the study guide in California for the gun safety just as a comedy, but I didn't do it.
Okay. Well, you can buy one gun from a roster at a time. You can't run a background check to buy 3 guns.
Right.
California does not recognize CCWs, concealed weapon permits, from other states. And now you would also only be able to buy one gun every 30 days and have to have a new background check, a new fee, and the same with ammunition. So every time you're going to be paying this $50 fee, and you can only buy one gun at a time. And I don't know if it limits the ammunition. Right now, that's to be determined in this new law.
Yeah, I like those to be determined. You know, one thing I have to say is at least it's a state. Once the feds create laws, then you have no place to go. You're stuck. And that's the danger of anything federal. At least with California being idiotic, if you really feel strongly about this, you can move to another state that has more common sense. But once the feds get what they want, then you're stuck. You have to move out of the country.
Yeah, yeah. California, also, if you're a felon, you cannot own a gun. If you're mentally ill or you're on that list, you cannot own a gun. You cannot own a gun if you're under 21 years or old. And as of 2017, you cannot, and this is already law, this is what was passed over the summer, you cannot inherit a gun. Any firearm, you must have a dealer process you as a new gun owner, because those guns now have to be, they're trying to get unregistered guns registered.
Right.
And it won't be long until pretty soon they say if you have an unregistered gun, you're going to have to register it. But that's not exactly what it says right now. But who knows what they're going to do.
You know, another interesting little statistic is that Russia now, for the first time in a long time, allows people to own guns and tasers and tear gas and so on. All kinds of guns except for rifles. And you know why that is, right?
Because you can't overthrow the government with a gun,
yeah.
A handgun.
Yeah. So what is gun control really about? Think about that.
I don't know.
We're going to take a break. This is Examine Life on KKRN 88.5 FM. It is a community-supported station, and you are the community. So you want to support your local community radio station, both financially and with ideas. Call us. Tell us what you want. Not us tonight. But email us at examinelife@kkrn.org. We don't get enough emails to tell us what you think. And we need those. If you don't like our show, tell us why. If you do like it, explain why. We'll be back in a few minutes.
And meaningful conversation. KKRN can offer more real conversation because we are supported by listeners. You have a voice.
Make them believe they're true. Oh, give me your lips for just a moment. And my imagination will make that moment live.
The infinite possibilities of music are showcased by the eclectic panorama of song styles that you can find on KKRN Radio. You won't find our musical explorations on more mainstream commercially driven stations. From classic country to new age, from classic folk to classic rock, from blues to jazz, and music from outside our country. You'll find it all on KKRN listener-supported radio, radio that makes you listen. Imagination will make that moment live. Oh, give me what you alone can give. I'll kiss the pill I dream on.
Welcome back. This is Examine Life, and tonight we're examining guns, the new proposed legislation in the state of California. we're kind of covering all kinds of bases here.
We want to talk about, you know, why we may not think that the gun laws are such a good idea in addition to the gun law itself.
Prohibition of anything creates a black market. And we learned this with alcohol. It took us a decade in the 1900s from 1920 to 1930 to realize that when you prohibit something that is part of human nature, it's like prostitution, people will find a way to get it. And the only people that will thrive will be those in the black market that sell it.
And the problem is that those people almost invariably get rich doing it. So you're encouraging the action by prohibiting it. You know, Britain just did a very stiff tobacco tax about 20 years ago and created a whole black market for tobacco. I mean, a black market for cigarettes.
Yeah. And it's people will get what they want somehow, regardless of the price or if it's illegal or not. There's also in the new proposed law is you cannot have, sell, or buy components to make a gun.
Right.
And I think somebody was not thinking this through because Home Depot can sell you all the components to make a gun and the web can show you how to do it. There is a YouTube out there for it.
Right. And even if there isn't, there are plenty of machinists who know what they're doing that can help you do that or teach you how to do it. The point here being that these laws, because, as I said before, bureaucrats love their detailed little laws because that's what they do all day. And so by creating that detail, people just find ways around the specifics. And because lawyers like their specific words, it's very doable.
And think about it. The new 3D printers can make a gun that is not metal. So it's like, and soon as that technology becomes commonplace and they outlaw it, they'll come up with something else. People that want these things will find a way to get them.
And 3D printing is in its infancy. The idea of a 3D printer that can build a complex assault rifle is not far-fetched. It's just not here yet.
And we're talking a year, two, three away. It's not that far.
Yeah.
37% of Americans own a gun. There's 310 million of them owned, which is one for every person in the United States.
Right.
Of course, not everyone owns one, obviously. Some people own 10.
Yeah.
But 37%, more than a third of Americans own a gun. And there are many that don't own one but believe that we should have the right to own one if we want.
Right.
And the CDC, which is the
Centers for Disease Control,
they've stated two things that I was surprised. One, that higher gun ownership means lower gun homicide rates.
Well, that's not what they were looking for when they did the study. They were surprised.
No, but this is a quote.
Yeah.
And this came out in December of 2015. This isn't old knowledge. And the other thing they said was death by cars is 300% more lethal than by guns. And
yeah,
this was the CDC.
Right.
But
to be specific, again, it's 300% higher than murder by guns, but still higher than even all of the possible gun deaths you can imagine are still outpaced by automobiles. And guns are designed to shoot things. Cars are not designed to kill people, and yet they kill more people than guns do.
And when they interviewed convicted criminals, they said that 35 to 40% of them said they were scared off by someone who owned a gun or had a gun when they went to commit a crime.
Sure.
So,
yeah. I would say most criminals are probably for these gun control laws, especially most criminals that commit crimes with guns.
And they know how to get them.
Yeah.
The big issue is safety, and this is safety for children. If you are a gun owner, you have that responsibility to either have a gun lock or keep that weapon safe away from children.
See, this is how we should approach it. If you own a gun, you have a responsibility. And if a child gets hurt and you have a clear legal that you caused it, you know, that you, through your negligence, you caused that to happen, you shouldn't be fined or put away for a year. You should be put away for a long time. That's a responsibility of owning a gun. If you can't control that gun at all times, then you should not have it. And that's how we should do this.
Most deaths by children and guns are by kids finding a loaded gun without a safety lock on it. and accidentally either shooting themselves or someone else.
Now, I implemented my own gun control when I was when my kids were small. I took them out, and I had them fire at a very young age a .357 revolver. And you know what? They weren't traumatized for life, but they understood the damage that a gun could do. And I remember a couple of my daughters went to a neighbor's house who was a little lax with controlling his guns and had guns visible and out in the house. My daughters left because they knew what a gun would do. And that's how you do this. You educate people about things in a comprehensive way so that they really feel and understand the danger, and they will not be foolish with guns.
Ownership of a gun is like having a swimming pool. You know, the law requires you to have a locked fence so that children don't wander in and accidentally drown. And it's very similar. You have to teach children the respect for water and the respect for weapons, but you also have to make it very difficult for them to accidentally stumble into it.
Right. And you can't prevent all things, but again, you have a responsibility. If you have a pool and you don't have a fence around it and have it secured, you're opening yourself up to a lot of trouble.
Yes, yes. Many of the slaughters of people in history were carried out with swords, knives, other weapons that were not firearms, ISIS kills with exploding bombs. There are many ways to kill people. If someone is set on killing someone, they will find a way that has nothing to do with the firearm.
You know what? The same people that are probably for these gun control laws just happen to be in the same camp that I'll bet you they never say much about ISIS or what's going on over there.
Well, I think it's more, it's an emotional thing. We have fear for our children. We have fear for the mentally ill. We have fear that, you know, the crazy guy next door who acts like a jerk is going to have one. And it goes back to the responsibility. I think everybody that has a gun should take a class, not only on safety, but how to behave in the presence of a gun.
Right.
So it's, and then these bad examples are the ones that make us all fearful of them.
Right.
And it's not, it's an emotional thing as much as anything.
Well, yeah, that's what a lot of these laws are doing, is they're playing on the emotions of people, trying to enact laws that will do nothing, but they get voted in because they've convinced these people on an emotional level that they need it. And they prey on their fear.
Well, we have to be practical about this. A lot of this legislation that is on our ballots is far overreaching. It is oftentimes one part of society, like the law that was passed in the summer of 2016, the new gun legislation in California, had a lot of these things incorporated with it. And their whole comment about passing it was, well, we wanted to get ahead of the proposition. Well, to me, that's like saying we're going to pass the law before the people get to decide on it.
Right.
And is that any better than giving us a proposition to vote on?
Well, people tend to fall political groups. And you people that like gun control in general also like central control. They somehow believe that politicians are not corruptible and that if we just give them the power to do these things, they'll do it the right way. And the people tend to have groupthink. And they all have these agendas that they follow, and this is one of them.
Well, the first mass murder in the United States was by fire. Someone had locked people in a building and set it on fire. People can drive cars into crowds. There's so many ways that people can die that does not involve a gun.
Right. Even poisons outstrip guns in deaths in the United States.
And
accidental poisons.
Yes. Yes. And knives. In England, guns are prohibited and a lot of people are stabbed to death or hacked on the street, as we saw not too long ago. So if someone is really determined and angry and brutal, they're going to find a way.
Right. And you know, frankly, the people that want to hurt other people, if somehow, which you will never accomplish, but somehow you manage to keep them from getting their guns, they will find other methods for mass killing. They just will. Guns just happen to be convenient for them, but if you somehow think that you're going to stop them from killing the same number of people, or maybe more because they have to move to bombs or something, you're not going to accomplish your goal, those of you that think you're somehow promoting peace and saving lives.
Well, there are seven states that have something called stand your ground laws. And this is kind of like a line in the sand idea, where you have the right to use force to defend and protect yourself or others without retreat. And this is common across the United States. I'm not sure if it's seven or 17. I think now that I think about it, it is 17 states have that stand your ground law. And it goes back to, when we were establishing the prairie in the 1800s. California does not have a stand your ground law.
Right. It means that you need to leave if you have an egress. You need to take it and run from the criminal, even if you could stop them with your gun.
It's called the Castle Doctrine, which means that in its Penal Code 198.5, that inside your home, if you have reasonable fear of imminent peril or death or bodily harm, you can use no more force than necessary for self-defense. And that goes back to 1897. You have the right to defend your own home. So in California, but that doesn't mean you can shoot them 16 times. This means that the minimum amount of force that you have to use with your gun, you shoot them in the leg, they drop their gun, you kick it away, that's enough force. It doesn't say you can shoot them to death. It just means that you have the right to shoot to protect yourself.
Yeah, and that's kind of a difficult area to discuss, because generally, if you want to guarantee your safety, you're going to shoot for the center of body mass, the largest target, and that's going to be more fatal than shooting some other areas. But that's just a consequence of the nature of reality.
Well, there was a thing on the news a couple of years ago where I believe it was somewhere in the Midwest, but this guy had been robbed a number of times, and two kids came and robbed him. And he shot them and killed them, but he shot them like 16 times. It's like, now this is a little over the top. It's a little excessive. You could have shot and wounded them and not have to kill them to stop this.
Do you remember if they had firearms?
I don't remember. I just remember the talk about excessive force. This was a prime case of I need to defend my home, but this is just a little bit of overkill, as not intended to be a pun. But in California, we have that Castle Doctrine. And if you ever take a class in firearms, they will teach you about that.
Well, that's one of the things about carrying a weapon, is when you take your classes, the biggest part of your classes are all the things, the bad things that can happen to you as a consequence of protecting yourself or others with a weapon. People second guess your behavior. Basically, what you do when you carry a concealed weapon is, if you're going to shoot someone, you need to be thinking about the fact that people will believe that you were truly in fear for your life or someone else's life. And if you can't prove that, you're liable to go to prison.
Well, again, you should take a safety class if you're going to be a responsible gun owner. And per the government, the gun violence peaked in 1993 and has slowly declined since. Yet gun sales have exceeded $1 million monthly for the last 2 years. So there are more guns now and less deaths than in 1993. And according to statistics, if you live near a level 3 trauma center, you are more likely to survive a gunshot wound than if you just go to the local emergency room that does not have a level 3.
I'm not sure. You may want to call tomorrow in the morning. I'm sorry. I don't. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. The new proposition also has, for gun dealers, they have to post in big, bold print the following warnings. And it's supposed to be entitled warnings, which I found was fascinating. But let me read a couple of them to you. If you keep a loaded firearm and a minor obtains it and uses it, you may be guilty of a felony unless you stored it in a locked container. If it was used at a school, there will be an additional fine on you of $5,000. No person can make application to buy more than one firearm within any 30-day period. Another one of the signs reads, all applications for guns or ammunition shall also contain a fee or the application will be rejected. After July 1st of 2017, if the Department of Justice receives information that you are prohibited from possession, you will be added to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, the index or the list. So this will have to be posted for any gun dealer that he has got to notify you of these things on the wall so that you can't say you didn't know it.
See, and the thing is, when you're dealing with automobiles or things like that, you have crimes that people commit, and they're not prohibited from committing the crime. What they're done is they are punished after they commit the crime. They're trying to proactively prevent all these crimes with guns, which is not going to happen because the criminals will obtain the guns. And what they need to do is really punish people hard who misuse guns.
Yes, and I did not look this up, but I believe if you commit a felony with a firearm, that the punishment can be more severe than if you do not have a firearm.
It can be, but many times they're let off. There need to be some mandatory sentencing of some kind. If you use a gun in a crime and you're proven guilty of using a gun in a crime, you should just go away for a long time. Why not control behavior, bad behavior, than to try to control the guns? It's been proven you can't control contraband items. We've never successfully done that with alcohol, drugs, tobacco, anything. Why are we trying to do it now? It's all political. It's not going to help anyone.
When I worked at a bank, and our bank was involved in a bank robbery, the first thing the FBI asked, because that's who responds in a bank robbery, is, did he have a gun? Did he show you a weapon or state he had a gun? That was
right.
The first question they ask.
Yeah. You need to punish criminals for doing bad things, not try to keep people from having things that they are not necessarily going to do anything bad with. A lot of the poisonings that take place, you can't ban all of the poisons and successfully, just like you can't ban guns. And it's not going to be successful except for those who are very law-abiding people, and they're going to be now at risk, and all the bad people will still have their guns. If you don't believe that, I'd like you to email me, explain to me the logic of how that would work.
Let me also mention a couple of other things that I want to call hidden in the fine print of this 37 pages. As of July 1st in 2017, if you keep or offer for sale, give, lend, buy, or receive any part for a large capacity magazine, you will go to jail for not to exceed 1 year. You're prohibited from allowing your gun, an ammunition, a key or combination code to any means to open a locking device, but to be in the possession of a prohibited person. Now, how you know if that person's prohibited would have to be, I don't know how they can tell you knew or not, but what a this is prohibited person. I don't know if that means that someone's on the list or someone you suspect, but that's a pretty broad statement.
It's funny because the government misses most of these people in their background checks, and yet you're supposed to know.
As of July 1 of 2018, a California resident cannot bring or transport into California any ammunition they purchased from outside California. And the scariest one to me of any of them is securing firearms from prohibited persons. This was the caption. A search warrant can be served when the property or things are in the possession of any person with the intent to use them as a means of committing a public offense. That means what you're thinking, what with the intent. How can they prove intent without a very broad stroke of the brush?
Yeah.
That means that you can be arrested for what you're thinking if they can prove that was what your intent was.
Yeah. If they can prove it. And, do you have the financial wherewithal to prove that you weren't?
It's the scary part of this whole thing is I understand that prohibited persons should not have anything, but this doesn't say that. It says when the property or things are in the possession of any person with the intent to use them as a means of committing a public offense. I don't take exception to any part of that except the words with the intent.
So think about all of you that support these kinds of legislations. Understand that someday someone who is not of your political belief may come up with their own behaviors like they did back in the 50s with the, you know, the communists and so on, where they're going to use these laws to do things that maybe you don't want to see done.
The other thing is, and I only bring this up because of divorce cases where there's a lot of animosity and a lot of hard feelings and I'm going to get you attitudes. And beginning in January 1 of 2016, firearms and ammunition can be seized that are owned by or in possession of a person who is the subject of a gun violence restraining order.
Well, see, and it's always been that way with CCWs. If you if you're going through a bad divorce, or you've got, you know, if the authorities find out that you have some kind of an emotional issue with someone, or you have something going on that could lead to violence, they can pull your CCW at any time.
Right, but for them to do it because you are not convicted of anything, but that you have what they consider intent. That means that if you're thinking about doing it.
Yeah, no, I understand. They have no way of knowing what you're thinking. And generally, the people that are the best criminals are not going to reveal as easily what they're thinking. They're very good at not revealing that.
And I believe the new law also allows for, and this is also a broad stroke of the pen, that if you are a family member or someone close by, that you suspect that your grandfather is maybe mentally challenged, that you can report him and have his guns taken.
Yeah.
Now, think about if you're that person, say that you're, you have a vindictive daughter-in-law, and she accuses you of something, and they come and take your guns because she has filed this complaint. In the broad use of that brush, that is existing law from the summer of 2016, they have the right to come and seize your weapons.
Right.
This is not, you know, there's too much emotion involved within families sometimes and divorces. And this is where, what if you're on the receiving end of that ill will and not the one that might even be scared? If she's scared, then she should vacate the house, not live there anymore. If you're ever in fear of your life for any reason, don't live there. Move. You know, go live with family or friends or somebody else. But don't put yourself in a dangerous situation. But now the law reads that if she feels that somehow she is in danger or you're not of sound mind, that they can come and seize your weapons.
Well, the thing is, as I've said before, I think the people who support these kind of things are not very clear thinkers. They don't think about consequences. They don't understand that
unintended
these same things can happen for other issues. You like this idea of central control because they're centrally controlling something you think should be controlled. But when you unleash the political monster, remember that there are going to be politically opposite people being elected someday. And once you've let this camel's nose into the tent, the whole body's going to move in, and you're not going to like it when it happens to you.
Well, it goes back to that unintended consequences. And unfortunately, laws are passed with these big, broad strokes that everyone gets caught up in. And you don't think of it today as applying to something in 2 years from now, and yet it does. Oh, my, we didn't think of that. And now somebody, innocent soul, gets sent to jail because they got caught up in this broad stroke of the brush when they really didn't have any intent, or they were not the subject of a restraining order for because they had. If you banish a weapon in the presence of a minor, you are considered having a gun violation.
Right.
And now your wife and you are getting a divorce and she files a restraining order. Guess what? They're coming to take all your weapons.
Yeah, you know, the laws are restrictive enough. If you have a CCW permit and your weapon is seen by someone, that's brandishing.
Yes.
You don't have to wave it in front of people. Brandishing is a concealed weapon not being concealed, even briefly.
And
technically, they can take away your weapon for that. There's strict enough laws.
Yes, and like I say, if you have a gun in the presence of a minor, that is against the law. You can't do that. If you're playing with it, cleaning it, whatever the excuse is, it cannot happen. It's against the law. So you've got to use some common sense if you are a gun owner. So it goes both ways, but we have to really pay attention to a 37-page law that they're giving you two pages of pro and con in a mail-out to vote on it.
And I ask you, any of you who vote to pass a law that you have not read, do you consider yourself to be a deep thinker?
Well, it's irresponsible. If you're not going to bother to read and find out what it is you're voting for, then you should not be voting. Skip that part. You don't have to vote for everything on that ballot.
Right.
And there's a lot of stuff in the ballot that you can go online and get the full text of the marijuana one is 60-some pages. This one's 30-some pages. Take the time to read it.
And are you?
I know the mail-out thing that they sent out took me 3 hours to read and comprehend, and then I had to go to the internet and find out the details.
In my opinion, if you don't read that bill and you pass it based on what a politician that you like is telling you, you are what we call a useful idiot. And I'm sorry to say that, but you are. If you are voting on a right of yours and haven't even read the bill that is attacking that right, you are not a thinking individual.
And we have to be wary of the ads on television that tell us how to vote. There are billions of dollars paid for these advertisements by corporations or what they call super PACs or a group of people that get together and they're self-serving and they get the advertising done to serve what their cause is. It doesn't make it good, it doesn't make it right, but they've got the money to advertise. And we are all so susceptible to advertising. That's why we are marketed to nonstop. Any time of day, you can find someone trying to sell you something.
I'm amazed at some of the man on the street things you see now where, whether you like the Obamacare or not, Jimmy Kimmel did a thing where he went to people on the street, young people on the street, and he talked about the increased premium we've had this year with the Obamacare, but made it sound like, hey, what do you think about these increased premium? Isn't that great? And these people just went on and on. Oh yeah, that's why he's the man, because look how great this all is. He said, how high do you think the premium should go? Like, you know, 2,500% higher? Oh, they should go 500% higher. They should go 5,000% higher. Because they have no clue about even what the word premium means. These are voting people.
Or at least they're of eligible age. Thank you. You've been listening to Examine Life on KKRN in Bella Vista and Round Mountain.
I'm Steve.
I'm Pat.
This has been Examine Life. Our email is examinelife@kkrn.org. If we have made you happy or made you angry, the only way we're going to know it is if you email us. And you can be as tough on me as you want, but you know what? I always respect someone who will give me a logical argument, not just call me names because they don't agree with me.
And don't pick on me at all.
Yeah, just leave Pat alone. She tortures herself enough.
I'm trying to be fair and balanced, and I'm trying to read it all. And sometimes I go in with one perception, I read it all and change my mind. So that's the whole point of getting educated.
You all have a beautiful night out there and vote intelligently tomorrow. Good night.
Good night.